Our Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday in Advent is from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people in Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is the word of the Lord. Epistle lessons from Romans 16. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all the nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When the Blessed Virgin Mary comes up, which she always does this week, Advent 4, I always feel slightly uneasy. There is, by this time, a long history of Catholic and Protestant polemic over the Virgin. Some of it earned, for example, the unofficial title of co-redemptrix. Although as recently as last year, Pope Francis would say, that title is foolishness. She never wanted for herself something that was of her son. She never introduced herself as co-redemptrix, no disciple. But such intra-church squabbles for most people, even most people who are believers, just aren't meaningful. The fights of yesteryear are rabbit holes with fewer and fewer rabbits. Instead, what does the Blessed Virgin offer us a chance to see without chasing those rabbits? And I think the answer, or at least the answer that I want to explore today, is tied up with the word devotion. If I say the word devotion, it might immediately bring up thoughts of the portals of prayer or the treasury of daily prayer. In Christianese, devotion has come to mean personal Bible study and prayer. And I'm not discouraging those. We probably need more of that. Primary definition of devotion is love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or a cause. One has devotions because one is devoted. One's devotional life may flag because one's devotion has wandered from the source, become disconnected from the vine. The Blessed Virgin Mary, I can think, rightly described as a great saint, and in Lutheran understanding, a great saint is a clear example for us, but as the great saint of devotion. Her heart was always for her son. Her desire is that everyone would come to know and to listen to her son. Mary is devoted to the cause of God, however he intends to carry out his promises. And also, being Lutheran, we ground everything first in the scriptures, because that's the apostolic word for all times and in all places. And the Annunciation to Mary, which is only found in Luke, another of the reasons why I think Mary is probably one of Luke's sources. But the Annunciation has this prologue. Mary is betrothed to Joseph, who is of the house of David. Given marriage patterns of the time, that would probably also mean that Mary is a descendant of David. Not that there's much left to being an heir of David, other than some old stories. But the message that the angel Gabriel brings is rooted in that son of Jesse. It's rooted in those old stories. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It's the covenant of the eternal throne. Now remember, this is over 500 years after the fall of the last ruling member of that dynasty, longer than the United States has been around. The heir of David is a carpenter living in Nazareth, about as far from a capital city as you might imagine. And you can probably think about the ironic jokes in the household about what will happen when he gets his crown back. Tevye, kibitzing with God about being the chosen people. Maybe you could go choose someone else for a while. Yet, here in this armpit of Galilee, you have the angel, the messenger of God, Gabriel, talking about these old stories completely seriously. Mary, the peasant girl, being addressed as royalty. Greetings, O highly favored one. The Lord is with you. But not being addressed so in a sing-song or obsequious way, but authentic. The angel Gabriel means it. Every word. When God makes a covenant, he keeps it. The time of fulfillment is now. And his method of keeping this one is both common and strange. Mary, you will have a child. That's the common part. It happens all the time. And most people lacking a devotion to God might simply have said something like, about time. I'm glad God is getting back into the game, and I'm happy to know that Joseph and my son will make David great again. But the devoted heart of Mary doesn't take the message in that way. The devoted heart of Mary knows both that God keeps his covenants, and then he fulfills them in unimaginable and sudden ways. After 400 years of slavery, Moses shows up saying, "Let my people go," and a week later they walk out of Egypt. The devoted heart of Mary asks, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" She believes that the child will fulfill the covenant, but how will this unimaginable and sudden God get past this seeming human block? And Gabriel gives to her heart not the old promises, not the old covenant, but Gabriel gives her the new one. Your son will be called holy, the Son of God. This Jesus is not to be Joseph's son, but he will come by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the unimaginable and sudden work of God. And as he often did to prophets of the Old Testament, he offers proof of his promise. In this case, he points her towards Elizabeth. But even with that proof, what God does is promise. Everything will be made right. Nothing is impossible with God. Pause for a second to take that all in. A royal son born to peasants with old stories. A royal son whose parentage will be questioned. royal son to one not married yet. Getting from here to here. Being from that humble house with your parents just to 9 months later is going to need a miracle. It takes an angelic intervention with Joseph to get him to accept this. Then the struggles of carrying, I have the calling to bear God. This is the pull the ripcord time. Thank you, Gabriel. But you can find another virgin. Can't you do this in a more manageable way? One that won't cost me as much. One that won't pierce my heart. But the devoted heart of Mary doesn't answer any of those complaints that would be natural. That devoted heart of Mary says, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary believes. And in her belief, her life is dedicated, is devoted to the mission of her son. And all of the biblical pictures of Mary that we have are of this devotion to her son. Her ensuring that all of the rituals are carried out. Her frantic search for the child who stayed behind in his father's house. Her pondering of all of these things in her heart. The mother who prods her son into making the new wine at Cana. The mother who comes to collect her son out of concern and is rebuked, but doesn't pull rank. Mother sitting at the foot of the cross, collecting her son. Allow me one tangential thought here. It's not necessary to the faith or what I want to say, but I think it might be meaningful. This biblical picture of Mary as one whose heart, whose whole person is devoted to her son, is one that I think shows up in the various Marian apparitions. Regardless of showing up to the three shepherd children of Fatima, or Juan Diego of Guadalupe, or Lady Rachelgis, I can't pronounce it, of Walsingham, or Sister Sasagawa of Akiwa, Japan. Whoever she shows up for, her concerns are always about devotion to her son. A calling of high clerics to repent and commit or to consecrate space to the Lord. A renewal of devotion to her son within the institutional church. A renewal of the heart in preparation for things to come. A renewal of devotion to her son for perseverance in the face of the world. An encouragement to prayer for those of lower stations. A renewal of the devotion to her son amongst all the faithful. Say what you will about religious experience. The Marian apparitions picture a mother committed to her son. A mother committed that you find space in your heart to listen to him. Your salvation is in Christ, her son. The fulfillment of God's promises is there. Devote yourself to him. But leaving behind those appearances of Mary, it's the witness of the Blessed Virgin Mary. First, the stories. She believes every single one of them. God keeps his covenants. Her son, Jesus, is the fulfillment of all of those old ones, and her son, Jesus, is the eternal hope of everyone. Mary is a witness to that faith, that God is good and trustworthy. Second, that faith is not just a mental assent. It's a devotion. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That word in each of our lives might be different. We're called to different things. But the Christian is called to devotion. A carrying of the body of Christ in our body. Wherever we go, we are the body of Christ in this world. And so carrying Christ is always something that Simeon would tell Mary would pierce her heart. And Mary is our witness that such a carrying of Christ is not ultimately a burden, but a blessing. Her devoted heart carried and pondered it all. And the angel called her most highly favored. And she would say that all generations will call me blessed. We should believe, like Mary. God keeps his promises in amazing ways. We should also model her devotion. Her son was devoted to saving us, a devotion that he carried right to that cross. We also are called to devotionally carry Christ. Carry Christ to the world that he wishes to say. Amen.